My name is Joe. I'm a cocaine addict. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and alcoholics. And we have a whole chapter, which is chapter 7, which is not so much on the full 12th step, but it is on working with others in 12-step work. You have this awakened spirit, and what do you go do with it? You know, I've been directed to turn back in, tap into the inner resource to go back out. I've been directed to prepare myself to be of maximum service to God and to my fellows, and to be an instrument so that He can fine-tune, my God can fine-tune and utilize me as He will. I think it's Spider-Man that says, "With great power comes great responsibility." And I see that to being very true. I have the privilege of sponsoring many guys, and it is a privilege most of the time. Sometimes it's like, but I have the opportunity to participate in somebody else's recovery. And what I mean by participate, not to recover for them, but to help them meet the conditions and take the certain set of actions so that they can have their own experience with this thing. And it says, practical experience shows us on page 89 in chapter 7, working with others, it says, practical experience shows us that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. As intensive work with other addicts. And not just once in a while, or when I see fit, or when it suits me. With intensive work with other alcoholics and addicts. And that was shown to me by some good sponsorship earlier on. In the hospital, I remember he said to me, "You know, I'm gonna show you how to be vigilant with your recovery, and I'm gonna show you how to sponsor people." And I was up against a wall because I was still in the hospital. And I made the remark of saying, "I'm not sober enough to sponsor people." He said, "You won't stay sober if you don't sponsor people." Because practical experience shows us that nothing immunes us, ensures immunity from crack and alcohol than intensive work with other alcoholics. And it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility that I don't take lightly. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. As I was mentioning to you, there's something that happens when you sit in front of head-to-head, eye-to-eye with another cocaine addict or an alcoholic. There is something that happens there. Dr. Bob liked to use the word, Wilson spoke my language. There was no secret for him regarding alcohol. And many men, and Dr. Bob had the spiritual solution. He just didn't have the identification piece going on. And it is amazing when you can meet somebody that you've never met before, talk to them for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and gain access to that identification. You can help when no others can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Remember, they are very ill. I mean, I've been lied to, stolen from, stood up. How many mornings have I gone to go meet, this place where we go like to do some step work, and just not show up, and, lied to, stolen from, talked about, gossiped about. They are very ill. And that's not, I don't say that, sometimes that term floats around that he's a sick person. That is not a judgment. That is me ascertaining that this person operates from a spirit that is asleep or blocked. How could a crack cocaine addict do anything different than steal from me? That's what I used to do, right? Life will take on new meaning. Here's some promises. And every promise in here that is promised in this book has all came true for me. That is my experience. Every promise that they talk about as a result of taking certain actions has all come true for me. Life will take on new meaning to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. It is a bright spot of my life. Is it the bright spot of your life? I invite you to ask yourself the same question. Is it the bright spot of my life? To watch somebody finally get the opportunity to touch what we are able to tap into and live a life of freedom and purpose. You looked at me in the beginning. If we would have videotaped my sponsorship in the beginning, I mean, it was a gong show, man. Let me tell you. I mean, I was trying to follow this as best as I can, and you know, I'd put in certain things. And Tarek reminded me of this yesterday about a man talking about these three different types of sponsors. You know, the sponsor which will direct you towards yourself. All you got to do. Can't you get over it? Can't you just stop doing this? Can't you just do what I tell you? Then there's the sponsor who will direct you towards himself. Here's what I'll do for you. Here's what I've set up for you. Call me every day. I'm not a sponsor that I will tell somebody to call me every day. There may be some here that do that, and that, if it works, fine. I mean, perfect. But I'm not a guy that you call every day. I just don't have the time to talk to everyone every day. The group of people that I'm taking through the work right now, the ones that take a year to go through the steps, they have that rule where there's a call every day. And this poor woman, she's 26 years sober. She got on fire with this deal about 6 years ago. And she's like, I'm so burnt, man. I can't, I don't even want to do this anymore. So we had to investigate that a little bit. And what we discovered is just that. I mean, she was gotten that Atlas syndrome and taken a lot of people on her back. And it's about directing them to her, directing them to her. And I've done that. I've been all three types of sponsors. I've sponsored directing you to you. I've sponsored directing you to me. And I've sponsored directing you to that which has all power. And I've been most effective with directing you to God. I'm not sure what you should do with that relationship, whether you should leave her or not. I'm not sure whether you should take that job or not. But here's what we can look at. Is it selfish or is it not? What's blocking you from that which has the answer for you? Take him by the hand, put his hand in the hand of him who has all power. Go home. Don't stick around and play God. That's what they did with me. And I've tried all three. And in the beginning, it was like that. And it's when somebody comes and asks me to sponsor them, we're gonna sit down and we're gonna talk about it. I'm not going to say yes yet right away. We're gonna talk a little bit. We're gonna visit a little bit. I'm gonna find out why it is that they want to do this work. Are they willing to go to any lengths to do it? And do they know what that looks like? You know, a lot of people. A lot of people that have been around, they may have an idea what that looks like. I get people, there's a mix right now. I got people that have been around for a long time and that are suffering in sobriety. Then I get relapsers. So we're going to sit and talk a little bit, and I'm going to see where you're at. I'm going to try to learn as much about you as possible. Have you done this work? Well, yeah. Did you make all those amends? Well, were you sponsoring? How many people were you sponsoring before you went out and relapsed? I'll tell you, the answer is usually zero or one. I've had the sponsee for like 15 years. Yeah, what's that about? Right? And when they tell me no, when they come to idea, when they come to the awareness that they haven't gone and done everything that's in this book, there's a lot of hope, like I was mentioning earlier. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope in the sense that I was explaining to someone, if you tell me that chocolate cake is your favorite cake, and I say, buddy, I got the original chocolate cake recipe, it will blow your socks off. And there's just 12 simple ingredients that you got to put in there. And if you put all those ingredients in, you will have the best chocolate leaf from the original chocolate cake recipe. And a few months later comes down the road and says, how's that chocolate cake taste? And it's not very good. I said, how about those ingredients? I put a few eggs and a little bit of flour. I didn't put it all. I put it in the oven for 90 minutes and 90 days. It didn't really taste that good. But there's hope there. Because what I do know is from my own experience is that when I put all the ingredients in there, it was some pretty damn good chocolate cake, man. And I wanted more of that chocolate cake. So I'll try to find out where they're at. Where are they at? What's their deal? Are you smoking crack? Are you drinking? You know, are you banging heroin in your arm? What are you doing? I'm a crack cocaine addict, an alcoholic. I've tried heroin twice, smoked it, never liked it, didn't touch it again. If I can help it, especially if it's a new person, I have guys that are recovered heroin addicts that I will direct them towards. You know, overeating, one might think I have some issues with overeating, but I mean, I don't lose power, choice, and control when it comes to eating. But I know some people that do. You know, I know a man who was so fed up that threw all this food out in the snow in minus 20 degree weather, and a few hours later he was digging it up. I don't know what that feels like. So I'll try to get you directed and linked up with the right person. So I'll ask them, you know, what's your deal with it? What are you using? Have you been involved in recovery for a long time? Do you have a home group? Have you gone through the steps? This is usually people that have been around. If it's a brand new person, I like to utilize, you know, in here, what's happening in here. You know, if the humor is light, make a few jokes. Talk about my experience with drug addiction and alcoholism. Talk about the mental twist, the craving, the allergy. You know, if he's a real deal, man, the lights will shine. The lights will light up pretty quickly. And that person may have the same effect that Bob had with Wilson, and he'll know that cocaine addiction and alcoholism is no secret for me. That's an amazing experience when you see that light up. It's like, I got him. Then you can pull it in with a vision of hope. Right. So, what I normally do is, it usually takes us about 8 weeks to get eight sittings, usually about eight sittings or so to get through this the whole process of going through steps 1 through 12. I want to make sure that I slap them in the face with powerlessness. Even if they've been around and they've been sober for a while, I want to make sure that they get hit in the face with a 2x4 regarding powerlessness and unmanageability. I want to make sure that I direct them to a place where they can see for themselves whether they need God or not. Right? Do you need power in your life? Are you able to manage your life? If not managing your life, could you go back to a place where your mind says, I think it's okay if I have a little drinky poo? If we snort a line of cocaine or melt a rock or take a drink, will you have the same effect? Will you have the same effect that it did once upon a time? Maybe you'll have a drink today, but do you think maybe that reaction to that allergy, maybe your craving will be satisfied today? But what about tomorrow? Do you think that will take off? Do you think you'll have control over that? I've had some first step experiences with people, man, that'll just raise the hair on your neck. Of my own first step experiences. Several years away from the last drink and the last drug. You get that and bring that real. In my innermost self, do I need power? This book ain't about sobriety, it's about power. It's about connecting with that which brought about sobriety. Can you access that power? Have you tried? What have you done? How's it looked? Is it working for you? What are you hoping to get out of going through this work one more time? I'm looking to have a new experience. What does that mean? So we'll take about 8 weeks to go through the work, and eight or nine sittings. My job is to get them independent of me as quickly as possible and dependent on God. I remember some of my first sponsorship, Chris. My first sponsee, actually, and we're still together today. I remember he's going through this divorce and this breakup, and he's freaking out. He's all twisted up. He calls me. He's like, buddy, can we meet, man? Because I'm twisting up, and I'm going through this divorce and this legal stuff. And I says, yeah, sure, no problem, man. I'm going to come meet you. And I went and met him at the coffee shop, and he slaps this big document down, this legal document. It's like this thick, and I have the audacity to pick this thing up and start looking at it. And then it came over, and I just put it down. I'm a cocaine addict, but I'm not a lawyer, man. Go see a lawyer. Why haven't you gone to see a lawyer? Oh, maybe are your financial situation blocking you and keeping you in fear from going to pay for that. Oh, you're fearful of actually not going through with that because it might make this thing final. Okay, let's get you unblocked so that you can connect with that which will move you to what you need to, where you need to go. Went through that, stayed sober, stayed quite free actually through that whole process. I was talking to somebody outside going through a split up and to be able to go free through that. Those aren't easy things. Those are life circumstances that aren't easy. They ain't easy to deal with a lot of times. There is sadness, that's all right. There's discomfort, that's all right. But Chris was able to walk through that with grace and dignity. And to watch somebody walk through that, to be invited to participate somehow in that, it humbles me. It really humbles me. To be invited into anything humbles me. Because nobody invited me anywhere once upon a time. I don't need to impose myself in people's lives anymore, but rather I get invited into people's lives. And that is an extraordinary thing for a crack cocaine addict of my variety. Yeah. So my job is to get them dependent on God as quickly as possible. Many of them, they'll tell you, they'll call me with some issue. Well, what did God say about that? Okay, call me back and then we'll talk about it. It is to get them independent of me and dependent on God as quickly as possible. You know, in the beginning, obviously, yeah, it's like there are these little kids running around and you kind of got to be there and around them and supporting them, just like they did with me. But I got to get them connected to God as quickly as possible. And it doesn't take long to do that. And it doesn't mean that, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do it. You got bookers in Canada, you got what they call muckers because they muck up their book. You've got, you know, the steps in 4 hours. You've got the back to basics. We're on here to split the room or divide the room. If you're going through the work, go through the work. It doesn't mean you have to go through it in 4 hours. Doesn't mean you have to go through it in 4 days, but go through it quickly. Go through it quickly. Connect them with that power. We talked about in the last step the reconstruction of the ego, and that happens very, very fast. And we were talking about it, Tarek and I, yesterday, that little window of grace, that little window of opportunity, I've taken people through the work in an afternoon, sitting at this corner of a coffee table, getting them on amends very quickly. Am I effective? Some of you are being prepared to being sponsors here. Am I effective? Am I at a place where, you know, if I didn't have my book with me, could I take somebody through the work? Am I able to do that? Am I looking to prepare myself to be of maximum service, to be an effective sponsor? It's never about sponsoring. It's never about helping. The question is not helping. It's more so how to help and when to help and the effectiveness of which I go by doing that. I will take them through the first step, and we'll go through the chapters. We'll go through doctor's opinion and more about alcoholism, and there is a solution. And I just want to make sure that I give them the opportunity to see their powerlessness. I want to make sure that they have all the facts in front of themselves so that they can explore that for themselves. I am not there to convince you you are a cocaine addict or an alcoholic. I am there to bring you to your truth and hopefully help you see your own truth. I have tried to convince people. It's very ineffective. They balk out sooner or later. Yeah. I've gotten to a places where I got onto the yeah, Chris, if you ever listen to this, you can forgive me, but I got onto my Raymer boy and trying to beat people down with the big book and trying to use it as a weapon, shove it down your throat, that was ineffective, right? But I rather want to bring the facts, and I want to lay out this simple spiritual toolkit so that you can explore it and you can go and seek for yourself. If I lay out the powerlessness to somebody, if they be a real deal addict or alcoholic, they will be able to see their powerlessness. And if they get slapped in the face with that powerlessness and that desperation, then they will look for power. I ask him about what's the deal with God. What do you think about God? We go through agnostics. Where are you at with God, spirituality, this whole higher power thing? Are you agnostic? Are you atheist? Do you believe? Perhaps you believe, but you've never been able to connect with that which you believe in. What's your conception? Okay. We're not going to get rid of the conception completely, but we're going to let's just set it aside or ask whatever to set it aside, this conception. Maybe have a look at a new conception. Could this new conception bring about the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery? Are you open to that idea? Do you believe in the possibility that something else needs to be there because you can't do that based on that experience we had in those previous chapters? Yeah. Okay, let's make that decision. Right. I lay out the toolkit again. Do you relate to the director of this show? Let's look at your family. Let's look at your money. Let's look at your sex. Let's look at your AA friends. Let's look at your immediate family. Do you try to arrange the light, the scenery, your feelings? Do you try to arrange all that yourself? How does that work for you? How does that work? And I always try to, I want to get to myself in a position where I can lay the toolkit out and I can ask the questions for them to answer. If they ain't seeing it, if they're not touching it, it's something that's missing that we need to go back to. Third step decision, we say we are right after the affirmation, they say we want to make sure that we are ready, we are completely ready to take this step. I don't like to take groups through the third step. You know, I don't like to take groups through the actual steps and taking the action unless we have a whole weekend and we can actually do it, talk about it, read it, go back to our rooms, take some sort of action, write inventory, fifth step with each other, get amends ready for after the weekend's done. But in a lot of groups, it's a lot of an introduction or workshop, what have you. I've seen it. I've experienced it where I tried to take people through the third step and make a decision in the group, and there was just no follow-up after that. Try to get them to write some inventory down, but then there was nobody to fifth step with right after. Yeah. You just got to be aware of these sort of things. You just got to pay attention to these sort of things. How do I need to be efficient? What does that look like? Is it perhaps just going through it and discussing it? Or do we have a venue really to take the action in the work? I give them usually a week to 2 weeks to write inventory. I don't give them very much time to write inventory. And there's all kinds of ways to write inventory, and there's all forms, and all. I've seen a lot of checklists and this and that. Whatever, man. Just write it. As long as we're following the guidelines of what's laid out in this book, just get it down, write it. We can always revisit it. Thoroughness and honesty. Thoroughness and honesty are the rules in that step. Are we leaving anything out? Right? I will When I fifth step, when I listen to fifth steps, I mean, I've listened to some 7-8 hour fifth steps once upon a time, but I don't do that anymore. That's not any more effective than listening to 2-3 hour fifth step and being able to ascertain the kingpins and the things that are blocking you from your God, right? I'll just make sure that the guy understands what is blocking him, what are the exact natures that are wrong. If he gets it, we're going to move on to fear inventory. We're going to move on to harms done in sex conduct. When I meet up with them with a fourth and a fifth step, I always make sure that they have an hour booked off after we are done. After fifth step's not time to go and do the chores and do the thing. You book an hour before we meet up for the fifth step. Make sure you have an hour time slot after, because we're going to take the instructions that are in the book. Sit for an hour. Not 60 minutes, 61 minutes, or not 59. Sit for 60 minutes. Go through the five proposals. 12 minutes a proposal. Where am I at in that first step? Do I need power? Am I open to believe? Have I made that decision? Have I been thorough and honest with my inventory? Do I see my grosser handicaps? Have I told everything to this person? I learned a way by making amends from taking this inventory and putting them onto cue cards. That's the way I learned. We get, it's not in the book, but just it's a tool that we use where we use little cue cards and we write the person's name. We write how we can get a hold of them. We write what the harms that we have done. On the back, we write three questions. Have I left anything out? Is there anything that you would like to say? Would you like to express to me of how this stuff made you feel? It's not to beat myself up, but it's to be a little bit more awake as to what my effect have on people when I myself will run riot. Yeah. And then how can I make this right? And then we write down on the bottom of the card what the person says. How can I make this right? Don't call me anymore, okay? How can I make this right? Continue doing what you're doing. How can I make this right? We'll pay the money, whatever it is. And you watch these guys that you work with and they start doing on, and it's a lack of a better term, but I guess not the easy amends, the ones that they're most willing to do. And then you have these ones that are not willing, and all of a sudden the willings that they've finished, the not willing have become willing, and they're walking, they're getting moved through these amends process, and they're paying the money back, and they're sitting in front of people that they never wanted to sit in front, they were never willing, they were never going to do, and now they're sitting in front of the person. And they call me before and they call me after, and it's not because I have the answers, they call me so that we can get straight as to why they're going there. Are you straight and clear as to what you're doing when you're going there? They're not going there to catch up on the old times and chit and chat or have supper. They're going there to repair, to make an approach to repair. Because it is the approach. The repair will come from the last question. What can I do to make this right? There's the repair. And we'll keep them accountable. So what number card are you at? And we'll just keep them rifling through the cards and making those amends. I will teach them how, according to what is said in the book about watching, turning, and asking, about cease fighting, about the 10-step spot, the walking throughout the day, checkups, meditation. I mean, if they inquire about how I meditate, I mean, I will let them know how I meditate. If they want to know what books I read and what spiritual tools I utilize, I will share that with them as well. I will never enforce that on people. That is for you to go and discover. Here's what I've used, right? And we're going to get them ready to sponsor. And we're going to get them ready to sponsor, and we're going to make sure that when we're in the meeting, it's not the time to chit and chat about this and that. We're going to keep our eyes open for the new person or the suffering addict or alcoholic. That is our job when we walk into a meeting of Cocaine Anonymous. That and that only is to carry this message to the person who's still suffering. We can go in fellowship after the meeting. We can go into the restaurant. We can go to the coffee shop. We can go do a lot of fun things. But when we're in here, we got an hour and a half to be of maximum service to our fellows and to God. So we get real focused. You get this feeling of purpose. with this awakened spirit and being able to go back into meetings of Cocaine Anonymous and our homes, occupations, and affairs, and get to shine this light in the world and this sense of this feeling of purpose. I think that's one of the greatest feelings that I have today, is that I have purpose today. I have purpose. With great power comes great responsibility, and that's what it has been. Right? I will not make anybody drink or get high, but I will not make anybody sober. I don't have that power. But God has given me the power to help others, and the effective way I've found from helping others is by laying out the simple spiritual toolkit that was laid out to me for me to investigate and help to meet the conditions to take the actions. And hopefully they'll experience that themselves. We take these principles and we bring it out to the world. As it says earlier on, a greater aspect of what we do in here, we do out there. Right? What are these principles? When I walk into my job or when I walk into my home, I need power. I still need power. I might have many philosophical and moral convictions galore, but without any power, that stuff can't manifest. Convictions could be you have to do a good job at work today and work for the money that you're getting paid for. If I have no power in my life, I will do as little as possible. Do I believe that God can bring that about in my place of work? Have I made a decision to turn my will and my life, my thoughts and my actions over to the care of God in my home? Am I not being transparent? Okay, so I'm relying on self once again. Yeah. How about with my money? What's going on with my money? What's going on with my health? Oh, I started experiencing a little bit of fear and a little bit of resentment in regards to the weight that I've put on. And okay, well, are you going to the gym? Are you eating well? No, I ate 4 of those cookies there this morning. What's that about? Am I taking my inventory in my physical life? What's going on there? Sloth. Refusal to respond to the opportunity for growth. Am I talking about this stuff with am I talking about what's going on at work with my colleagues? Am I saying, buddy, I told you that I got this done. I didn't get it done yet. You asked me if I knew what I was doing. I said, yeah, but I don't know what I'm doing, actually. Could you maybe give me a hand with this? You know what, Nancy? I was a little bit short with you there in the office at that meeting right in front of everybody. That wasn't right for me. That wasn't right of me to do that. That was actually quite selfish of me to do that and put you there in that position like that. I apologize. What can I do to make that right? What can I do to make that up to you? Yeah. You know what, sweetie? You're right. You're right. I didn't think about it. I actually left it out. I wasn't authentic. I lied by omission. I am wrong. I'm sorry that this made you feel this way. What can I do to make this right? Can you bring these principles that we've learned in this way of life out there and shine your spirit out there? It's good and easy to be sober in a meeting of AA and CA. Somebody told me one time, it's not what you do between the Serenity Prayer and the Our Father. What are you doing between the Our Father and the Serenity Prayer? Yeah. And it no longer becomes separate. Recovery service and unity they're not separate. It's not in here and out there. It's all of it. I've been getting moved to a place right now where the intuition is to bring everything that I'm doing within recovery and my career, I'm bringing it together. That is a pretty amazing feeling. And then I get people show up in my path that inspire me. Pretty amazing feeling. And it all comes from having been given this beautiful way of life, this this way of life, which has woken me up, has given me the power to try to pass on this way of life to somebody else. And then you watch that somebody else do the same thing with still others, go home, bring the principles into their lives. Pretty amazing deal we have. Pretty amazing deal. I'll leave you with a quick story and we're going to wrap this up. Story I heard somewhere, I don't know who I heard it from. But there's a cocaine addict and heavy cocaine, crack cocaine addict, whatever you want, heroin addict, whatever you want. And he's feeling pretty desperate and lonely. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. And he finds himself stuck in a hole. And he's standing in this hole and he can't get out. And he's trying to get out and he's trying to climb and he's trying to do everything possible to just get out of this hole. And he's just stuck in this hole. It could be one of you have that feeling today. I don't know. Perhaps you're here and you have the feeling of being stuck in a hole, sober or not. And this addict, he can't get out of this hole. And then sooner or later, there's this doctor that comes by and says, "Doctor, can you give me a hand? I really can't get out of this hole. I've been trying for the last several hours and I'm still stuck in it." And the doctor sits down and he pulls out the script and he says, "Okay, tell me about the symptoms." Talks about the symptoms. Doctor says, "Here, take these Oxycontin. Maybe this will relieve those." Addict takes the pill. It feels a little bit better. But a few hours later, that wears off. And he's still stuck in the hole. A couple hours later, the therapist comes by. He says, "Excuse me, sir. Could you help me? Because I'm stuck in this hole and I really can't get out. And I really want to get out and I don't know how to get out. And I've been stuck in here for hours. I seen a doctor. He gave me some pills. They worked for a little bit, but they wore off. And I'm still stuck in this hole." And the therapist sits on the edge of the hole and says, "Okay, well, tell me about your feelings. Tell me about your family dynamic. What went on when you were younger? How were you?" You know, and they're talking, exchanging, and the addict feels pretty good, you know, that sort of talking and getting stuff out. But then sooner or later, the therapist says, "I got a client that I got to go see a couple hours, but here's my business card. Just make sure you give me a call when you get out of there." Addict's still stuck in the hole. A few hours later, a pastor or priest comes by. Says, "Father, I've been in this hole now for like 9 hours, and I really want to get out of here, and I'm crawling in my skin. And I don't think I'm ever going to get out of here, but perhaps you can help me. I've seen a therapist, I've seen a doctor. You seem like you got a direct line connected to something. Could you please help me?" And the priest sits down at the edge of the hole and says, let's pray, my son." And he brings out this big book, and they start reading some scriptures. And the addict feels pretty good, and he's like, "Okay." And then the priest says, "But I got a mass to give. But when you get out of here, you make sure you come and see me at the church. I'll be there. You come and see me." And the addict's still stuck in the hole. And sooner or later, there's a recovered cocaine addict armed with a fax and solution who comes walking by. And he says, "Tarek, can you give me a help, man? I know you. I've seen you around. I'm stuck in this hole." Tarek jumps right in the hole with him, and the addict says, "What the fuck, man? Now we're both stuck in the hole." And Tarek says, "I've been in this hole, buddy. I know how to get out, and I'm going to show you how. That's what you guys did with me. You jumped in the hole, and you showed me how. That's what they did with me." One cocaine addict sitting with another one in the purpose of recovery, there's some miraculous things or beautiful things that come to follow. That is my experience and many others that I've been privileged to participate in their lives. Yeah. I got an amazing life here, guys. A real cool life. A life filled with God, filled with purpose. And I came here because it's what I thought I needed. And I realize it's everything I wanted. That's what you guys gave me. Thanks for having me. That's it.